Hi, welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Hallelujah. In this holy atmosphere, Lord, we come to you this morning. It is so exciting to be with God. It is so inspirational. It is so motivational. It causes all of life to make sense. It cancels out nonsense and causes us to know where we've come from, where we are, and where we're going. Connected to a value system of the kingdom of God, we are more than conquerors. We're accepted in the beloved. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. May your glory fill this place this day and bless these people at the beginning of the year. Lord, people have been giving to the kingdom of God, and maybe I should just for a moment stop there and say, Father, the people have been faithful to give to you. The people have done so with consistency. Please, Lord, let it be like Acts chapter number 10 in the case of Cornelius, where it came up as a memorial, like a monument before God, what each and every man, woman, and child is doing concerning giving into the kingdom of God and putting the kingdom first, that they may live with blessing within the kingdom. And Lord, there is a favor that emanates from that. And so, Father, we just lock in on the blessings of God, and we bless you so very much with all of the love in our hearts, as we love you always. In Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you, dear people, for your contributions to the kingdom. It is still two services this time of the year, and I think that we're at the end of the holidays, and there are still people away on holiday, actually, but it is good, and it's good for me to see you all, but to say these words, that the Lord bless you and keep you this year. Fulfill His word and let His face shine with favor upon you and give you peace, give you favor, give you salvation, and cause you to prosper in your ways. There is a blessing that is different when it comes from God, for it's connected to the body of Christ, and it involves the blessing of Abraham and is empowered by the Holy Spirit and every spiritual blessing of the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, empowering every promise God made in His word concerning all of you. And it's yea, and it's amen, and it's fulfilled through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Only believe, and you will have a good year. Be careful of the confessions that you make concerning your future. Be watchful over that, and live a life of integrity, uprightness, in the fear of the Lord, and God will bless you in every possible way. Can you say amen? We love you, and we will indeed be praying a lot for you this year and the prayer cards. I'm not going to spend time there because my time is too little and too soon it's over. So today's package is really a package, and it is really a lot of things. My mind is like, wow, I'm loaded with materials and things, and I'm highly inspired about this year. But I'm going to just talk about I'll walk with God 2018, walking with God. And I've been thinking of this so very much. In fact, there's an old song which meant so much to me, just the song from The Student Prince, a very old movie in the 50s of Mario Lanza singing I'll Walk with God. Now, this thing has stuck to me like it got pinned to my life, that Lord, just a closer walk with Thee, I'll walk with You. But how do you walk with God? And in a year that is strategically the most significant year I have personally encountered for many, many reasons. The research is overwhelming, and it all points to one thing. This year is going to be an extraordinary year, not like any regular year that we have passed through. By all measures, both in the Christian world, in the Messianic Jewish world, that's the Christian Jews, as well as the Orthodox Jewish world, the entire religious community of Israel, as well as the gigantic body of Christ, everybody is with huge expectation in this year. And therefore, I do think critically, essentially, that I need to take you on a walk with God. And we'll increase the intensity and the higher level of that as we go forward now and as we enter into the Daniel fast. They are busy equalizing my microphone. So if the microphone changes in sound, do not worry about that. They're busy working on it. They're equalizing. And it takes time to do just that. And by the end of the first service, I think they'll be 100% there, hopefully 95, 98% there. It's not that easy. But I'm going to take a well-known Psalm 23. I chose this one because of the first words of King David, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now that says it almost all in one sentence. You have two things. You've got the Lord, and you've got the Lord as shepherd. And immediately when I thought what would be appropriate, I thought, wow, this is a good psalm, this one, from the perspective of walking with God. Then he continues to say, "I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." Think of yourself in 2018. "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Well, he leads me. Again, he leads me. And then it says that he comforts me. He prepares a table before me. And then he says, "Goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord God Almighty anchor you down to his glory and to your benefit in his house this year, as never before in your life." I'm like so loaded with motivational things that I could say because of what I've just spoken to you when I said, "May God anchor you in Christ this year." I am expecting things to take place. Even in the beginning of this year, already things have been happening, but all the way now through to the time of the Passover and on to the Feast of Pentecost, we are going into a very critical period of time. And the numerics of which and the prophetic implications of which is quite overpowering if you have insight in what I'm talking about. And so there is a nice piece of scripture which caught me in the NIV translation, the 2011 translation of NIV, that is in Ecclesiastes. Okay, this Prediker, chapter number 2, verse number 10. It says these words, NIV, it says, "I denied myself nothing my eyes desired, I refused my heart no pleasure. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. And I took that because it struck me. It's a beautiful rendition, the translation there, in this particular case in Ecclesiastes, where King Solomon is writing those words, and then he ends off with, nothing is gained under the sun. Of course, now after Christ, much is gained. In fact, all is gained in Christ, and we become joint heirs with Christ in the life in which we now live. If we consider all of these things, we have to take accountability and responsibility of our lives and the way we live. Our connectedness with God becomes the imperative factor, which is so critical. The connectedness with God equals the powerfulness of your walking with God. The cross of Jesus had basically two beams, the vertical and the horizontal. The vertical being the longest, and that from the earth pointing straight at heaven. And that means the prime relationship is our connectedness with God. The two side beams of the cross is our love and our connectedness with our fellow man. You will love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength, all that is within you, and you will love your fellow man even as yourself. So this connectedness with God is the empowerment factor of your faith and your prayer life. Your faith works through that connectedness. That connectedness could be impeded by, I would say, silly things. I would often think stupid things, such as unforgiveness, grudges, and the like, bitterness. A root of bitterness which defiles, contaminates, and toxifies the hearts of people and instantly cuts off prayers, like you would switch off a light and the electricity would not flow. It is therefore so critical in our connectedness with God, this thing called relationship, which I have often in times past emphasized over and over again. It is this thing that is so important, that is more to be realized than anything else on earth, because it starts with us being connected with the head, even Christ, in God, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm saying a lot of things through this, but we all have a time in life, and King Solomon writes here, and he begins to talk, and he speaks of these things that were like a chasing after wind. And then the thought came in my mind as I was reading in various resources I was working on. The thought came to me very clearly that there comes a time when it's lights out permanently for everybody sitting in this place. Except if Christ came and the rapture of the church happens right now, the catching away of the church, which goes to heaven to meet the Lord in the air. Except for that type of thing, we're not referring to that now, but if the Lord tarries in any way, then there is a lights out time when for the last time you might be blessed to see your family members and say goodbye, if it be that way and possible that way. And so I just construe that. But still, it's factual, it's truthful, that when life comes to an end and the lights go out, what then follows is either expectation of the hope of glory in the heavens of heavens, and God saying, the highest heavens, these I have made, and they are mine. The heavens belong to the Lord, as he states very quite clearly in his, and we very well know that, in his word and through his word. But at the same time, the horrifying fact that there is such a place called hell, Sheol. And if I think of that, when the light goes out for the last time, and eyes are closed, or simply a person blows out his last breath, you are met with holy angels who will accompany you, or else you'll be met by overpowering dark spirits that will drag you through the gates of hell to the netherworld, and to be met in the place called Sheol in Hebrew, or Gehenna if we talk Greek, and or if we just say in plain English, hell, the fire of hell. I could not help in my studies to encounter things apart from the blessings of the Lord. I was just so sad lately because of the lack of the knowledge of the Lord in the earth upon the planet. It's just something that really literally bugs me if I see the ignorance where people are living quite impervious of what God has been saying through the ages. And the word, as Jesus said, it's because my word has no entrance in you. I look at these things. I see them by the multitudes. I see them smoking and drinking and cursing. I see them blaspheming. I see things that are horrifying. I see the perversions of immorality and sexual perversion in a modern day world, which is now akin, it's tantamount to the world of Noah, and Jesus, our Lord, saying, it shall be as in the days of Noah. God's never changed. God's always remained the same. In him there is no shadow of turning, or some translation says, with whom there is no shifting shadows. He shines forever, and there is his light, which is life, which is cut off from people without them even knowing. They wist not that they have no future, no hope. The body of Christ is here with great purpose. The body of Christ is here not to sit around, not to let things go, less affair, hots waters or hots akkers, and leave people to move on. When we see the perversions of society, and when we see the compromise that's busy going on, when we see the lack of wisdom, and wisdom, by the way, is not a mere humanity factor. There is a major difference between wisdom of God, the mind of Christ, and worldly wisdom, which is sensual of the lower senses driven by the carnal nature, sensual, and it is demonic. It's earthly, sensual, demonic, the wisdom of this world. And people give advice in that dimension to other people, and the blind are counseled by the blind. So together they go to meet the prince of darkness in the netherworld because of an inability to recognize the world of the kingdom of God, Christ the King who sits upon the throne, and without the ability to discern that connectedness with God is eternal life. When God said, in the very first thing that he said to be created, he said, let there be or, in other words, let there be light. That light is so different from the lights that give light that are there in the heavens to light up the skies as he created them, as they belong to him. And then he created a nebula, which is some 70 light years. I was just thinking this. It's about 70 light years away from us is the Eye of God nebula, which is quite profound. It looks like an eye that's looking straight at the earth. And I look at these things and I'm thinking in my heart, and I'm baffled by the ignorance in society. I'm even worried about what goes on in university systems, because I do think that much of what is learned and much of what is promoted in universities very often are completely pointless in terms of conversion into salary at the end of the studies of a student. It needs to be rethought. The whole system needs to be rethought. And so you cannot, in all of this, take out the source of information, the blueprint of the entire creation. I'm still just talking. The blueprint of the entire creation is hidden in this book. Believe me if I say so. Believe me. There's no question about it that there's a thing called the Book of Life, and I've often wondered when I studied the ancient Hebrew and I saw each and every name that's there, I realized that God has written everything in advance and placed it in our hands. And I begin to realize that people are on their way to eternal damnation because they wist not that the Spirit of God is not with them. They're not walking with God. Therefore, they're aimless, fruitless, blown around by every wind of doctrine. They do not know from where they come. Rabbi Zacharias tells a story. I like Rabbi. He's just somebody that confronts your thinking. And he's got a thing called Let My People Think. And once I heard him tell a story, but I'm going to refabricate it, just make it my own story. Of these two soldiers, I have told this before, so I'm aware of that. But for the sake of those who have not heard that, just very quickly, there is this whole thing of two men. They're nice, could be three men, doesn't matter because it's all fictitious. They're in some tavern in the fog in Britain during some kind of a war, and a general comes stumbling into the door, but they nicely sozzled. They've had too much to drink, and here comes this general, and he comes through this heavy fog. He doesn't know where he is, where he's come from, and he says to these two guys, he says, well, you know what? You know, where am I? And so, of course, they laugh. You can think a couple of drunk guys just laughing about this, and then once they've laughed enough, he says, and what's the way to the nearest big city? And then they laughed even more and they said, you know, you must be kidding. And he says, do you know who I am? So they said, that makes it even better. He doesn't know where he comes from. He doesn't know his name and he doesn't know where he's going. Thus is the life of many people. Do not know their roots, their origins, do not understand where they are, and they do not know who they are in Christ. Neither do they know what is the hope of glory concerning the future. They accept by default that they are saved because, for example, in millions of cases, billions of cases, and in countless churches, people think the equation of church membership equals going to heaven. Not being so, because that's very clear from Scripture. It's not like that. This connectedness with God has got to be so thorough and so proper and so well cared for, better than somebody that goes every day to the gymnasium. Better than somebody that goes every day and faithfully sits down and looks at the television to see the latest of fake news. Now, we've seen a lot of that. The closest that I've come in my research, certainly, was when I looked at the Israel newspapers, and I get the closest to the real McCoy. Then I get the closest to what I see that is verified by various sources, and that is actually what is going on in many cases. But I find that in the world press, they write whatever they want to, they fabricate whatever they want to, they blackguard any person they want to, and they attack whatever and whoever they want to, and they don't care. And they have no consciousness, because that consciousness of sin does not exist in a heart that is devoid from God. In the process of such, I was asked in the week to do a course in the Bible school, of which I will just briefly just pause and say, I'm going to be teaching in the Bible school soon the origins of the universe. For in this past week alone, and in the previous, actually in the past few weeks now, I've been looking at the ribionic nucleic acid, that's RNA, if you will. And I was looking at Harvard University studies on the subject of the so-called evolution of man or not. And I realized that they're just, in fact, they're right, that two professors, one of them being a Nobel laureate, is writing and saying, this blows a hole in the entire construct of evolution, and the theory of evolution is not being truthful, and there's a hole in this whole thing, because we now have found out that it is so that there is a mitochondriac Eve, and there is a Y chromosomal Adam, that it has been created. They existed in the same time space continuum, exactly same time, exactly same space, these two people, of which the DNA could be traced back to that time. We have been created in the image and likeness of God. Can you say amen? How many of you believe we've been created in the image and likeness of God? I'm still getting into this, and I'm telling you now, it's life changing. It will transform your life. If you have understanding, you can be fruitful. Thus, in Matthew 13 is the parable of the sower. Those who understood the word, and elsewhere in the Gospels it says, with a noble heart. Consider with a noble heart. That means giving good thought to it. Understand. Give good thought to it. Took it into their hearts and became fruitful 30, 60, 100-fold. But what about those who do not understand and do not know what they don't know? They don't know what they don't know. And so therefore, there is this thing of walking with God. And the one subject, as Charles Spurgeon said, that is the highest of all signs, and I fully agree. I know a little about many things, but I don't know much about anything. And Spurgeon was saying these words. He said, the highest science that can be ever known to man, perhaps the most famous of British preachers, Charles Spurgeon, said the highest science that can be known to man is the science of the Almighty God, to understand the nature, the character, the doings of the Almighty God, His nature, His ways, the way He operates, His word, everything about Him, to study Him, the intriguing Holy Trinity, to understand Him, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, the power of His word, the power of His nature, the power that He put in the creation, that I may know Him, that I may know Him, ginosko, ever becoming more acquainted with the knowledge of His will and purpose, ever becoming more acquainted with the knowledge of His will and purpose. For in Him, you and I live and move and have our being. And if you, in 2018, want to see a good year, it's time to walk with God. Are you with me this morning? All right. So, we will look at the origins of this universe with the people. And with that, I think I will go on to read this from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 to 16. As we get into this I'll walk with God topic, you will understand that the depths of this goes way beyond the capacity of all of us put together. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. What we have received, this also I'm reading from the New International Version. I've just taken this version here and copied paste. What we have received is not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given you and I. Everybody say freely. And if I can get your faith beyond the mustard seed level this year, if I can get your kingdom walk beyond the walk of mere man to mere Christianity, as C.S. Lewis puts it, the kingdom of God walk and lifestyle, as Dr. E. Stanley Jones says, if I get you to walk the kingdom of God lifestyle in love and loyal, in faith, and knowing this, that this word is filled with life, which is the light of man. People don't understand this. They don't understand this. They don't understand it. Maybe I'll say something about that. I don't know if I've got the time for, but anyway, let's see. Yeah, look at that. It's past 9 o'clock. It's 4 minutes past now. I can't believe it. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught to us by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught word. The person without the Holy Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things. The person with the Holy Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to mere human judgments. Mere human judgments. Mere human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have as our present possession the mind of Christ. Did you ever give consideration to this thought? Just this concept. I'm going to cut myself down to a half a minute. Did you ever think of this concept of the mind of Christ? Connected with God, connectedness with God, connected to the mind of Christ. Did you ever concerned or think about or consider, shall I say, the power is the power of the mind of Christ, which the Bible says we do have. Yet because of lack of connectedness with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, therefore the mind of Christ becomes indiscernible, and so it gets confused with worldly thoughts and all kinds of cross communications that blur what God is actually saying, and people are not able to know. They all gather around ready like ready for slaughtering one another. Dog eats dog, as Stanley Jones says, blood on the teeth of all the dogs, and they're ready to absorb and to consume each other. But we are God's people. We are a chosen generation. We're a different people. We're to live by faith. We are blessed by the blessing of Abraham. If we have faith in the Word of God, we are capable of doing all things through Christ who strengthens us. There is a hope. There is a future. You need not be aimless. You need not be without a life compass. That compass is Christ. But you're going to have to walk with God in a year now like never in your life before. I close with this thought. You know, there are the nations, three most powerful nations are gathering out there around North Korea. North Korea wants to take over Seoul. They want South Korea. They're all gathered around North Korea. You have America, you have Russia and China. There are hundreds of thousands of soldiers. Yes, myriads of them amassing all around North Korea. And it's all about wanting to take over Seoul. You know what Seoul is? Seoul, Korea. Seoul is Seoul in Hebrew. And so many are warring to get to hell. But I can say to you today, by the Spirit of God, I can say to you, if you get your focus right, I have much to teach you. If you get your focus right, you will have faith more than a mustard seed. You will see things, mountains of your life this year moving that couldn't move in previous years. That's right. So may God take you and teach you and educate you and bring you to a level of the knowledge of the word with understanding to become fruitful in the kingdom of God and become blessed forever. May this be a year in which you will excel in all things. Do not choose the path or the wisdom of this world. God has created you with great purpose. And I have much to say this morning, unfortunately, kek no di tijd. Oy vey, that's Hebrew for oh my. Will you stand and give the Lord a praise offering? Come on, praise God, everybody. Such is life in the Spirit. You go over your time. You don't even know that there's a thing called time because you move into the dimension of the kingdom of God where there is no time and every factor works different. As we begin to walk closer to God, help us this year to find out individually, corporately also, how to walk with God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you, be gracious to you. The Lord grant you eternal salvation and peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, amen. I'll see you tonight. I'll continue from there.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.